Is there hope for our future? What about future generations? Will any young person step up and proclaim the gospel to the generations to come? We will talk about it.
It seemed like the end of Christianity. Gen Z was the most atheist, lonely, depressed, and hedonistic generation in human history.
So we can officially say it's not a fluke that Gen Z is the first generation in many years to be probably more religious than their parents.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Pastor Josh Schwartz and Ken Michael. Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries, the ministry founded by Jan Markell. In our program, Pastor Josh and Ken talk to Jeff Kinley and Todd Hampson, the prophecy pros. They have started a new initiative called Future Hope. In the extended version, Pastor Josh and Ken continue the conversation with Jeff and Todd. You are not going to want to miss it. You can find the extended version ad-free on our website, olivetreeviews.org, or on our YouTube and Rumble channels.
It seemed like the end of Christianity. Gen Z was the most atheist, lonely, depressed, and hedonistic generation in human history.
So we can officially say it's not a fluke that Gen Z is the first generation in many years to be probably more religious than their parents.
How did this happen? Gen Z was the first generation to be raised in a secular, post-Christian environment. They were the guinea pigs for the experiment of secularism, so they got to see the effects of secularism firsthand. They grew up lost, hopeless, lonely, and with no meaning in their lives. They also grew up surrounded by wokeness, which celebrated many groups of people, but said that men were the oppressor group and needed to take a back seat in society.
The pews are filling up, notably with young people. Gen Z's attendance at church has quadrupled in recent years from a small base, but the significance lies more in the direction of travel. This is shaping up to be the first new generation in a very long time to be making the country more, not less, religious.
While not all Christians are on the right, and not everyone on the right is Christian, the right was an important stepping stone for many young men coming to Christianity.
Today's culture is certainly more sympathetic to faith than the noughties when the millennials like me grew up ensnared by the four horsemen of new atheism and their era-defining bestsellers, which was Sam Harris, Richard Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens, Daniel Dennett. Dismissing religion as child abuse, mental illness, or terrorist propaganda, they seem now as dated as the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now, Gen Z is still in the majority not religious, but the trend lines are pointing in the right direction for the first time in many decades, and that's pretty extraordinary and heartening. Now, the big question, of course, is why this is happening. And, well, the real answer is that the Lord is working in the hearts of the younger generation and leading them back home, back to the truth. And I mean, that's what's actually happening. Jesus is happening. I think it's a deep yet simple truth, which is that human beings need, not want, not just desire, they need meaning in their lives.
Welcome to Understanding the Times. I'm Ken Michael, along with my co-host, Pastor Josh Schwartz. So is it true that young people are now turning to Christ and going to church in numbers like we haven't seen before? We'll talk about this with our two guests today. We are so glad to welcome them back. You may know them as the Prophecy Pros, Jeff Kinley and Todd Hampson. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Great to be back.
Fantastic to join you guys again.
So you guys have launched an exciting new ministry called Future Hope. Jeff, you want to just give us a brief overview of what that entails?
Future Hope is a vision to reach 100,000 teenagers over the next 5 years with the hopeful message found in Bible prophecy. So we're putting that infrastructure together right now, and Todd and I are just sitting on ready to go do just that.
Praise God. I can't wait to talk more about it with you guys and how people can partner with you and how we can even partner with you. But we've seen a major shift in the last number of weeks since the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Guys, how has this influenced Gen Z?
It's kind of amazing. Even going back before that, we were looking at studies about this time last year that talk about the fact that Gen Z and even Gen Alpha, that next generation coming up, they've seen the hopelessness of secular culture and secular ideology, and they're looking for genuine truth. Now, in some cases, they're finding it in the wrong places, but we feel like we have a wide open door of ministry based on every study that's out there, based on what we've seen personally at conferences. And of course, all along, the Lord knew what was going to happen with Charlie Kirk and the impact that that was going to have. All this to say, we have a wide open door of ministry right now to really pass the baton of faith to the next generation, either to get them across the faith finish line, if the rapture is going to happen soon, or to prepare them to understand prophecy, understand the gospel, and be the salt and light in their generation in the years to come.
And we've seen a huge increase in the purchase of Bibles. I'm hearing 41 to 45% increase. Is that due to this Gen Z and this upcoming generation? Is it because of them, or is it an overall people are just getting interested in what the Word of God has to say?
I think there's been a huge thrust among Gen Z and among young people who are understanding, perhaps for the first time of their life, that this world is not a good place. Satan has overplayed his hand with the deluge of depravity that he has brought into culture. And these kids are just finding the world is just not enough. It's not giving me what I need. And these kids are looking for hope. As you said, they're looking for significance and meaning. The great thing about it is the Bible has all the answers for that. And we've seen, by the way, our audiences have been trending younger. We've seen more younger people and young moms and 20-somethings coming to our conferences that we do around the country. And what's encouraging to us about that is that it tells us that the Holy Spirit is sparking a hunger. So yes, Satan has overplayed his hand. God is stepping into this void, and he is raising up a generation of young people that could be the last great harvest of souls before the rapture of the church.
Wow. Yeah, Josh, I just got back from Oklahoma. We were amazed at how many young people attended this conference. And like you said, Jeff, parents and grandparents are bringing their kids to see this and learn about Bible prophecy, especially.
And I think it's really important. Todd, you brought up Gen Alpha, which is the generation after Gen Z. So we're talking people ages 25 and younger. There is a growing desire to know truth. Now, why do you guys think that is? Is it because of the reality of social media and what they've been taught, and they're finally trying to search after something more realistic than that?
I think the more unstable the world becomes, the more people start to look for answers. And the younger generations have seen millennials, and I'm a Gen Xer, and my generation go after everything that the world has to offer and ultimately find no hope in that. So they're seeing that happen, even if they can't put it into those words. It's impacting them in terms of what to look for. And it's the first generation to be raised on social media, to be digitally raised. So they're inundated with thousands of messages every day, more than any other generation. I think there's an intuitive nature where they want to cut through the clutter and find out what is really true. So I think we have a great opportunity to point them to the gospel, to point them to Jesus Christ, and to prepare them for the next generation or the rapture, whichever comes first.
And I don't want to give social media just a bad name at all, because all of us obviously are using social media for one way or another to try and redeem it. So how is the gospel going out? How are you guys using social media to get further and further than ever before?
Well, I think just through our existing platforms, we do this, obviously promotion of our books, of our conferences, making independent, smaller video posts. But to me, the social media, it's a tool. It can be used for good or bad. But for me, the greatest tool is just people telling people, which is, again, the greatest tool, the gospel anyway. I mean, social media is a great opportunity. It's like a bullhorn. You can spread your message to a lot of people. But once those individuals, they may not use social media, they may reach out, as you said earlier, Ken, is they're bringing their grandkids, they're bringing their kids to these type of things. That's part of our effort, is to help equip individuals to be able to reach out to their circles of influence and bring them to a place where they can hear about this hope and the message that Bible prophecy brings believers today.
Great point. If I could piggyback real quick, what we're seeing really is a grassroots effort of people who have seen the church, by and large, not all churches, drop the ball on teaching the full counsel of God or teaching Bible prophecy. And they're finding alternative ways, books, resources, shows like yours, the conferences that Jeff and I do, to reach that next generation in an intentional way. So really, it's given an opportunity for Christians everywhere to be on the front lines of ministry to reach this next generation.
I think the big mistake that baby boomers made is they sent their kids off to school and then off to church, and they thought they were going to learn the Judeo-Christian values that they grew up with, and that was a huge mistake. So now we see social media being a huge influence on our young people, but ultimately, don't we want to get them back into a good Bible-teaching church that teaches the full counsel of God? So what advice would you give parents and grandparents to get kids back into church? Because social media does one thing, but I think they need other people around them, like-minded people. How can we get them back into a good, solid church?
Oddly enough, I wrote a book with Ken Ham called Ready to Return, and it's all about how do we get kids back in the church. And our research that we did, we hired America's Research Group to go out across the nation, and what they found was is that students were no longer casting off their faith when they got to college and got in front of that atheistic evolutionist professor and he's shaking their faith. That wasn't happening anymore. But we were finding that we're losing kids as young as eighth grade, 13 years old and younger, while they're still in the church because of the influence of social media. Because what we found was is that we were good at telling the stories of Jesus and the stories of the Bible, but we were not good at helping them understand why those things are so important and why they're true. So when kids get on social media, they go out to their school, out to the culture, they find that, well, no one's supporting that. In fact, they're antagonistic against their faith and they have no answers. Part of bringing kids back into the church is finding the kind of church that's going to help kids understand why what they believe is true and not just to tell them what to believe. So that apologetic, again, Bible prophecy fits right into that as a great apologetic. But teaching kids from, I'm talking about grammar school age, about the authenticity, the veracity of the scripture. How do we know Jesus is God? How do we know that he rose from the dead? And not just telling them those old flannel graph stories of, yeah, you should just believe this.
That's a great point. And I think there is a great discernment that a lot of these young people have because they have to fight against fake news. They have to fight against AI and automatically generated different things on social media. So they're really discerning and trying to get to the nuts and bolts of what really is true. So hitting apologetics and Bible prophecy. Now, you did bring up Bible prophecy there. Why is Bible prophecy so important in getting young people to understand the importance of the scriptures?
Todd and I did an event at the largest Christian high school here in Arkansas. There was 500 high school students. And Todd asked an incredibly insightful question. He says, how many of you guys have ever been taught Revelation, Daniel, the end times, Bible prophecy? Not a single hand went up. Then Todd asked, how many of you have ever thought about the end of the world in the last 7 days? Every hand went up. So that just shows the incredible hunger. These kids are thinking. They're intelligent human beings. They know what's going on. They've got antenna. They understand it. But we have to give it to them.
We really do. And yet we're finding that we need to address the elephant in the room. They're thinking about it. It's on their mind. When we actually show them, oh, the scriptures show us what our day is supposed to be like, and it's laying the groundwork for everything we read about concerning our future hope, the things that we're looking forward to. So it really does take the Bible from being kind of a dusty book that has some really good information and some key insights to the death, burial, and resurrection, and makes it real and alive in front of their eyes right now so that they can see the world through the lens of Bible prophecy. And it really does take them from confusion and fear and anxiety to anchoring to that future hope that we're trying to give them. The very thing that most churches are afraid to teach to their people is the very thing that's going to give them that future hope and the clarity they need right now at this time in history.
Yeah, Josh, it's about having an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And most churches, like Todd said, aren't teaching that.
Yeah, and I think it's so important to understand, just as God brought forth literally the Messiah the first time, like he promised he would, so also we can trust him in the reality that he will bring Jesus back to make all things right and to rule and reign. And it's not that anything in our world today is caught God off guard, but it's all falling into place, as our founder Jan Markell says all the time. And it's so important for kids to understand that we're not just careening out of control. God is sovereign. He's in control, and we can trust him because he knows the beginning and the end.
It's exciting for us simply because of the fact that when I was a youth pastor for over 25 years, I saw that teenagers can handle any type of biblical truth that an adult can. In fact, sometimes better, because they're not bringing a lot of baggage, a lot of pre-existing thoughts into the conversation. And so the thought was, are they still like that or are they different? And so last year, Todd and I went out to Jack Hibbs Church and we did an event for students on Bible prophecy. 1,000 students showed up. Another 1,000 were watching online, and they were dialed in from word one. Nobody's talking. Everybody's taking notes. They're looking at us, and then lined up 50 deep down each aisle, asking substantive theological questions about the end times. That just made my heart race. And it tells me that the hunger is there.
Guys, I want you to listen to this clip, and I want to get your take on this when we come back.
I had two college students come up to me at a conference this past week. They said, look, we get that. We get that Israel is in Bible prophecy stuff, but what is to be my attitude toward the nation of Israel now? And where they were coming from, Jack, they're basically saying, look, we don't agree with everything Israel does in their government.
We as Bible-believing Christians, we've read the scriptures and we know this, that we are to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. We are to be recognizing the fact that God has declared Israel and that land to be His. Let's remember that. He says it's mine, it's His. That said, question to the skeptic is, did God promise that Israel would go through generations whereby they would suffer greatly, all because they would not obey Him? They would rebel against Him. And He told them in Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you obey Me, you'll be blessed above all nations. If you disobey, you're going to be cursed above all nations. And of course, I think Jesus backed that up by saying later, to whom much is given, much is required. God had ordained the Jewish people to be His mouthpiece to the ends of the earth with the gospel. The gospel was to go to them first. They were to be the mouthpiece. The religious hierarchy failed to do that. And I heard Paul this morning say, look, if you guys deem yourself unworthy of eternal life, we go to the Gentiles. But does it mean that God is done with the Jews? Well, according to Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11, He is not.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio, the program founded by Jan Markell. Now, if you would be interested in receiving headlines every single day of what's going on around the world, picked specifically by Jan Markell, our founder, you can go to our website. That's olivetreeviews.org. And under the news tab, hit the word headlines. And you can even subscribe to have those into your mailbox daily. We also carry all kinds of different books in our bookstore. So if you are looking for great resources for eschatology, Bible prophecy, Israelology, and the like, please check out our store at olivetreeviews.org. Now, we are with Jeff Kinley and Todd Hampson this week, the Prophecy Pros. We're talking about the next generations, the generations to come. Jeff and Todd, you guys just published a new book, The Visual Guide to the End Times. It is so helpful. You take hard topics and simplify them with images. Where can people get their hands on this new book?
They can find that anywhere books are sold online, from Amazon to Christian Book to Barnes & Noble. And that was a fun one to work on for Jeff and I. We concepted it. We wrote the whole thing. We did all the graphics. So it's really our DNA in that book from cover to cover.
It's kind of a transgenerational book in the sense that there's plenty of depth there for more mature believers. But the visuals that Todd put in there are so engaging. It really does draw you in.
Thank you guys for putting that together. I view it as like a coffee table book that people can have in their homes, and it could create conversations that lead to the gospel and the greatness of God and holding all things together.
So guys, there's so much information and disinformation out there, listening to that last clip about what's happening in Israel and especially in Gaza. We're hearing that Israel is committing genocide and they don't look at what's going on there and the terrorists that are actually running Gaza. How important is it to know history and to teach history to all of these young people about Israel itself?
It's a spiritual battle. To combat the anti-Israel narrative, the anti-God narrative, is engaging spiritual warfare. And what we have to do is understand what Scripture says about Israel, how Israel, as Jack said in that clip, would be persecuted, they would be scattered, they would experience the curse of God, if you will. But in Romans chapter 11, Paul asks the question, has God forgotten His people? Has He rejected His people? And he uses the strongest Greek expression, meganoito, which means, God forbid, 1,000 times no, because the gifts and callings of God in verse 29 are irrevocable. And because of that, we should look at Israel and say, okay, so what does God say about Israel? In other words, we don't necessarily have to support everything the Israeli government does, but we support Israel's right to exist, their right to be in the land, their right to defend themselves. And we should try to bless Israel and bless the Jewish people and bring Messiah to them as best as we can. So it is overcoming that worldly narrative that you see on mainstream media and just respond with facts and respond with what the Scripture says.
And I think it's so important to really bring it back to facts and bring it back to history and bring it back to what the Scriptures say. Because after all, the internet is inundated with this anti-Israel narrative that we know is demonic and is broken. And of course, that's what we would expect the evil one to try to get the masses to believe, that Israel is the enemy and they need to be destroyed, because that's what he wants to happen. Now, we've been talking throughout this whole program about Gen Z and Gen Alpha, and we've touched on a couple of different times your new initiative, Future Hope. We've seen that this upcoming generation has seen hopelessness and seen brokenness. We understand that they are viewing the deluge of depravity all day, every day. We understand that they're digitally raised. They want answers to hard questions, specifically the why questions. Is this what spurred you guys on to really move forward with this initiative of Future Hope?
Partially, yes. Todd would agree. We have a third ministry partner who has had experience in youth ministry for 50 years and with starting really movements of youth ministries across the world. And all of us together have decided that the time is right to pick the fruit off the tree, because the way that students are thinking about life and about eternity and the substantive questions that every person asks, and who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? And of course, God answers all those questions. So what we're asking God to do is to really start a movement. We desire to bring students together in regional conference type situations to help equip them with the hopeful message found in Bible prophecy. But we're also going to be equipping youth pastors across the nation as well to teach them how to teach eschatology and Bible prophecy to their students, so that we create more of a multiplication effect and not just a gathering effect.
That's phenomenal, because at Olive Tree Ministries, we have what we call the pastor's huddle. We bring pastors from all around the U.S. and even the world to train them in eschatology. And now for you guys to do something similar and bringing youth pastors in to train them in eschatology, it is so important to see these things working together. I'm so encouraged to hear that.
Guys, as we close here, we have to put out a caution, because what we're seeing, and I think even Jack said it in one of your programs, young people are being led to maybe the wrong type of church. They're being led to areas where they're not going to hear the full counsel of God. How do we steer them in the right direction to make sure that they're hearing the truth, that they're going to a rock solid church that teaches especially Bible prophecy?
That's key right now. And part of the reason why the movement we feel God is calling us to help foster is directly linked to Bible prophecy and eschatology. We want them to understand Israel biblically. We want them to understand the end times biblically. Because what we found is that when you study Bible prophecy, you're really studying the entire story of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. You're learning how to distill truth from Scripture for yourself. So as we see this generation that is open to truth, there's a lot of danger out there. They're getting sucked into cults. They're getting misinformation about Israel and the end times and everything else. That's why we included that in this. So I think just letting them know what to look out for as they're looking for a church, really helping them to wrestle with these key things related to Israel and eschatology, in my opinion, will help put them on solid ground and help them evaluate churches that they're attending to see if it lines up with what the Bible actually says.
And we'll be identifying those churches as well as we go out and partner with different hub events that will get kids into those churches as well, and hopefully infect in a good, positive way some of the churches they're going back to.
Now, say there's a pastor listening that really wants to partner with you guys or to have a conference at their church. How can they get in contact with you, and what is the process of doing that moving forward?
Just go to futurehope.now. There's a contact form there. You can reach out, and our national director will contact them and get the conversation started, give them all the information they need in order to make an informed decision.
Well, our guests today have been Jeff Kinley and Todd Hampson. You probably know them as the Prophecy Pros. Gentlemen, any final words you each want to give?
We're just excited to be a part of something that God is doing. We're not manufacturing anything. We're just simply joining what the Holy Spirit is doing and using our distinct and unique gifts and desires and abilities to help any way we can to be good servants in this cause.
Amen. I would piggyback on that and just say, this futurehope.now will give you all the information you need. This is different than anything we've done apart or together. We've done things where we're offering services like a one-off conference or a podcast or books. This is something that the Lord is doing that we can't even control. And we're just trying to join him in what he's doing. And it is a wide open door of ministry that we need a lot of partners to come alongside us. So we invite you into this ministry with us to help us reach the next generation with the hopeful message of the gospel through the lens of Bible prophecy.
Well, thank you guys so much for stepping up and stepping in with these. Friends, I do feel like after this conversation, there is a hope for future generations. And the generation coming up after the millennials and Gen Z and Gen Alpha, they are going to hear the truth because of faithful men like Todd and Jeff. And I'm so thankful to have a partnership with them and to have this conversation. Gentlemen, thank you again for joining us.
You are the broken. You are the healer.
contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. Make sure you visit our web store at olivetreeviews.org, where we are featuring Pastor Mark Hitchcock's new book, The Revelation Answer Book. Tune in to the extended version of this week's program on our website, ad-free, at olivetreeviews.org, or on our YouTube and Rumble channels. Keep your eyes up, because everything is falling into place.